Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble and they will fall.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
All right. Hello, everybody. How you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. The name of the show is Understanding the Times in Which We Live in Today. And we broadcast every Sunday and every Thursday, God willing, at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the call-in number is 657-383-0616 to listen on the phone, or if you want to talk to the host or ask a question. Sometimes we're talking about a subject that may interest you, press 1. And I am rest assured to you, I give this invitation out to everyone. You will get on the air. You will be live on this program. And we have interviewed many people throughout the last year and a half on this show. And I reflect back when we first started this show. And we used to broadcast Monday through Friday, and or sometimes 7 days a week. We had a family night on Sundays, and that failed. because, you know, family and friends, and you know how we live in America today. It's hard to get family and friends together on one page for an hour and a half. Very difficult, but we did it a couple times, and we were able to get, you know, a good number of family and friends. But they eventually faded away and, you know, stopped supporting the show or check in once in a while when it pertains to them. But I do have a lot of supporters who are family and friends. I will say that I do. We have Joe in Sebastian, Florida. He's always on the program when I request he's here. I patch him through. Mike out in Wisconsin, a family member. He and his wife, Melody, Mike and Melody out in Wisconsin, that they've supported the show day in and day out. And hats off to them. And they check in with us, and they comment on the topics we speak about. Bit Banker in Meriden, Connecticut, he chips in all the time. Elizabeth Rondo from Yaleville, Connecticut, a family member, chips in. We had Savannah, one of my nieces, who's a teenager, chip in for a while, you know, but they only do it when they have nothing else to do, but that's okay, you know, hey, if that's what's more important in their life, that's fine. And of course, my nephew, who is serving in the military right now in the Army, Alex Turgeon. He was a guest on this program, gave us some updates from Fort Hood, Texas there, which was awesome. And I understand if he can't make it to the program, I mean, after all, he's a soldier in the Army. You know, he has things to do. He has responsibilities. So, you know, that's very important. So I cannot criticize him for not checking in. But he does. And he'll listen in on a private number sometimes, and I appreciate that. And what I'm doing here is I'm reflecting and I'm giving thanks to those who supported the program, you know, over the year and a half here we've been on the air. And we started out small, and we reached out to a lot of people, and we've had a lot of important interviews of people, mothers and fathers, social services. We attacked them. And we listened to the horror stories of children being kidnapped from their own families. We spoke to the former Prime Minister of Canada on this program. The lawyer for the Chinese embassy in China, we spoke on this program with. And so we spoke to the sheriff's departments. We've spoken to politicians on this program. So what I'm trying to do is let people know we don't play around on this program. We reach out to everyone. Just because you may tune in and listen to someone talking about a story that don't concern you, you know, you need to understand that, you know, just because it doesn't concern you at this certain moment and time, your voice is important also. And that's why I invite everyone onto this program to share their stories and their concerns. And I mentioned it again about family and friends. We used to have a family night and friends night. You know, we had my brother Jason, when he was out looking for a job, desperate for money, he tuned in. But now that he has a job and he's content making a paycheck, he's nowhere to be found. I request him to come on the program, but where is he? You know, I mean, yeah, how many hours does he work? I'll tell you right now, he works third shift. This would be a perfect time for him to tune in. You know, but where is he? He doesn't need that family and friends anymore because he's got a job. But if he was laid off, he'd need his family and friends. You know, because what do we all need? Money. Money. Because money makes us all go around, makes the world go around. And that's what it's all about. And it's a damn shame. You know, it really is. It's a damn shame. And matter of fact, I think I lost, let's see here. I'm looking at the call screen right now because I'm targeting family members tonight. I lost Joe in Sebastian, Florida. Don't know where he went. I patched him through. Maybe he's busy. I don't know if I should patch him through or not. Mike out in Wisconsin, if you could message him, please, and let me know if I should call him back. Maybe I hung up on him by accident. I'd sure like to know. But, Joe, I did patch him through in the beginning, Mike. If you could kind of send me a message on Facebook or something, or even cue into the program, because I see your number, you're here, I'd appreciate it. Maybe it's my fault, so I don't want to criticize anybody here. And, of course, Bridget, thanks for tuning in. Bridget, Reedsville, North Carolina, or should I say Stokesdale, North Carolina. She's listening. So I requested Debbie Lewis to tune in tonight from Reedsville, North Carolina. I don't see her number on the screen. So, you know, and we get back to the family issue. You know, I ask these people, hey, I'm having a show tonight. I'd like you to chip in, talk. You know, I don't have a guest. I'm giving you the floor. Hey, listen to what we got to say. And all I hear is crickets, you know. I don't hear anybody. You know, and that's America, folks. And we're living in perilous times right now. Perilous times. And, oh, I see Deborah Lewis just tuned in. I saw she clicked in right now. So I was requesting your presence. So obviously you must have heard me. So good. She's on from Reedsville, North Carolina. So, Elizabeth Rondo, you'll be happy to hear that your daughter, she's tuned in, because we're talking about family and friends tonight. And, Mike, I haven't gotten a message from you yet. I don't know if you're trying to get in contact with Joe and Sebastian, Florida, but I took the time out in the introduction to patch him through, and he was connected. So why he hung up, I don't know. I wanted an update about the hurricane down there in Florida, so... if you're able to get something from him or some sort of, or if you could message me, maybe I need to patch him through again. I'd appreciate it. But, you know, it's not that hard, folks. We all have telephones. We all have cell phones. The phone number is 657-383-0616. And all you got to do is call this number and you're live on the program. I've got more telemarketers calling me than I do family. but anyway, real quick, I'll go ahead and I'll patch. Oh, well, here we go. We got two people wanting to patch in right now. I got to go in order. That was a telemarketer calling me, if you heard a little click in the on the line there. So, like I said, there's no guest scheduled tonight because I've been talking to some family members and they're, you know, disgusted the way with, you know, family is handling each other within my family and friends. And this reflects upon our community. It reflects upon the country we live in today. And we're going to do a poll on Sunday, maybe Sunday or next Thursday. We're going to do a poll, a mock poll, to see who really is popular to be elected as president of the United States. I should call it United Snakes of America. We want to do a poll that one of these shows. I want to call 10 registered voters and have a mock poll. And that's what CNN and Fox does. What they'll do is they'll call 100 people and say Trump's got 36% and Hillary's got 41%. So we want to know the truth. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to do our own mock poll. And we're going to call 10 people and see who gets a higher percentage. You know, I felt like making an announcement that I would like to run for president. Why not? I could do a write-in, right? I could run for president. Why not? It's America. I mean, I could form my own exploratory committee, get granted hundreds of thousands of dollars, and see if I'm able to run for president and register on the ballot or have write-ins and run for president of the United States. No, I'm not going to travel the country because I don't need to. And, you know, if you want to talk to me, I'll give you my phone number. You can call me or my email address. We'll get into that a little, maybe a little bit later on the show. I was thinking about doing that, maybe doing a 15-day campaign. I'll run for president of the United States. What do you think? Let's see. Let's get to my first caller here. And we do have an enormous amount of people on the line tonight. Many of them are private numbers, so I'm not going to patch through private numbers because the crank callers and the threats and all that other crap, I'm not going to tolerate it. So if you have to block your phone number because you're afraid of me knowing who you are or anyone else, then you're up to no good. You have something to hide. That's how I see it. And it's my show, and I'm not going to tolerate nonsense. And I used to in the past, and we heard what we got. We got people calling me ISIS, and we had those tones calling in and all those other whack jobs. And we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that no more. So anyway, BitBanker, go ahead. And then we got Elizabeth Rondo next in the queue. Go ahead, BitBanker.
How's the audio this evening? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
That's great. I don't have much to say. I just thought I'd jump in there and put in 2 or 3 cents. You know, when you get Sweezel Guaducci running for president, that's what who we should get, you know. Anyway, you know, they're talking about the hacks with Russia and everything. It's just like Trump says, we don't even know if Russia's doing it. But Russia is, arming Syria and all that, and they're threatening us. That we got the rebels over there, which were funding.
Well, Putin said, BitBanker, listen. Putin stated, if Hillary is elected, the United States is to expect World War III. That's what Putin said.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at. And Russia cannot survive a long-term war. They can't do it. So what they'll do is they'll do nuclear bombs because they'll get it over with quickly. Because they can't stand a long-term war. They don't have those kind of resources. And that's the point I was getting at.
And the Russians are more dedicated than Americans. They don't care. They'll bunker down and kill themselves. You know, and what people don't understand. These people out there in the East, see, we're in the West. In the Western civilization, you know, we got a lot to lose. We like our flat-screen TVs. We like our new cars. We want our jobs, you know, we like our bank accounts. Out there in the East, they don't have this, and they don't care. They'll bunker down in a hole, and they'll think they're going to win it, but the fact of the matter is we're going to kill everybody. And the Bible talks about this. Two-thirds of the earth will burn up in the end days. Two-thirds of the earth will burn up. Is that nuclear war? I don't know. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So, go ahead, Joe.
From what I hear, Russia has already told their people that are in other countries to come home. Come home. Leave the countries and come home. Now, that's a good sign that they're getting ready. Now, when the ambassadors return to their countries and they're no longer here or we're no longer there, then it's almost a definite and a given. And if there's a nuclear war, I hope everyone is prepared because you're not going to be doing much for a long time.
Well, that's true. You're right. And I remember being in middle school as a child. We used to have nuclear. Remember during the Cold War? In the mid-1980s, all the movies that came out about nuclear war, and trying to scare people. And I remember at Dag Hammarskjöld Middle School, where I went in Wallingford, Connecticut, they had a bunker room where if we were in school and a nuclear war was to break out, we had to go to that concrete room to survive. And they did that. They did nuclear drills. You see, kids today don't understand. And here we are now. Perdition, times of perdition are coming true again, and people don't understand. Russia does not like the Clintons. They don't want Hillary Clinton in there, and why should you want Hillary Clinton as president anyway? For God's sake, you know the woman is a psycho case, and you don't think she has a 60-foot bunker underground that has a little miniature apartment complex where she could survive for 3 years during nuclear fallout? You don't think the Clintons have that? You don't think the Bush family has that? You don't think Abomination Family has that? They do. And you need to wake up, folks. And the call-in number is 657-383-0616. And if you want to chip in, I will patch you through. It doesn't matter what your opinion is or whatever you have to say. If you're a crank caller, I'll mute you right away. So I just want to let you know that right now. But right. I want to patch Elizabeth. Go ahead real quick, Banker. I'm sorry.
One question for other people that are on the call. I asked this before, and evidently I'm going to ask it again so that people remember. Back in the late 50s, very early 60s, I visited a fallout shelter in someone's home in Meriden, Connecticut with my father. I asked this question before, and like I said, it probably got forgotten, but I'd like to get the information back onto the location of where that fallout shelter is. Granted, the people are probably not alive, but then again, they may be. So I wouldn't mind at least driving by there to maybe reminisce or maybe stop and knock. I don't know. But that's it. Let the other people talk. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to let the other people talk. And Mike messaged me because, I got so many callers, and I finally got to his message. I'll try patching Joe from Sebastian, Florida in real quick again. I don't know why he got disconnected, but I'm going to try patching him through, and then we'll get to my next caller.
Hello.
Okay, Joe, I got you. I got you patched through. Mike messaged me, so I'm going to go ahead and mute you real quick, and then I'll get back to you, okay?
Okay, I'll hold on.
All right, thanks, Joe. All right, very good. All right, we got Joe from Sebastian, Florida on the line, and BitBanker, Joe from Meriden, Connecticut. He just made some interesting comments, very interesting, about nuclear war and what's going on with Hillary Clinton. Because I want to address that, and we need to discuss politics, very important. But maybe someone else has something else they want to talk about real quick here. And Elizabeth Rondo from Yalesville, Connecticut. Hey, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, hey, Elizabeth Rondo, go ahead. All right, good. Go ahead, make your comments.
Okay, Joe, I don't know where to start. I remember the day you were born. I went to see you, and I was only 35 years old, and this woman was saying, oh, you got a nice-looking son. I said, that's not my son. That's my grandson. She didn't know what to do. But anyways, Joe, you were always my favorite, and I did everything to be with you all the time, and you know that. And yes. I do worry about you. I hope Joey and Noah and Bridget are doing good. And I know my daughter's listening. And so I do know you're having it tough. I wish you would come up. Are you going to be able to come up?
Well, we'll discuss that in private, of course, but I appreciate what you said, and you're absolutely correct, because I did call out the show in the beginning for family to call in, family and friends, and, that's important. And it's not about having it tough. What it is, people, we're trying to excel. All of us in life had a hard time, whether or not it was from BitBanker's generation or Joe and Sebastian, Florida, or you, or Mike out in Wisconsin, or Debbie in Reedsville. All of us, that's why I called out family and friends. And I don't mean to mock the people that don't call in, but where is Jason? Where is Savannah, a teenager who needs guidance? Where are the other family? Where's Jeannie from Wallingford? Mike out in Wisconsin has been begging Jeannie to call into this show for a year and a half, but where is she? We're even willing to talk about subjects she's interested in, but that's our family. And you know what? It's not right. because here we are uniting the family on a radio network. Listen, I've had guests on this show who said, wow, your family's pretty screwed up. Huh. Well, gee, thanks. But you know what? They're right. And we're trying to address that as family, but you just made some interesting points. And thank you. You remember the day I was born and all that. That's great. And hopefully other people want to contribute here who are family tonight. And it's like last week, we had the hurricane in Florida. I dedicated the show to Joe in Sebastian, Florida. You know, he was in danger. So we, we had everybody we possibly could on to address his situation. But nobody appreciates it. You know, I'm not saying Joe, I'm not saying you, I'm saying other family. We should have 40 to 50 family members on this show right now talking about what's going on in their lives and helping each other out. Because hey, what do the Asians do? What do the Indians do? What do the Mexicans do? They all stick together. They all put their money together. They buy a house together, and they buy a business together. They work together, and they never have nothing to worry about. But we Americans, or even like my family, what do? It's me, 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 and it's a damn shame. It is, and I know what you're saying because you lived, and you're third generation. Of fourth generation now. Actually, you're a great grandmother to my children. So, people don't, and they don't address the truth either, because there's a lot of bad apples in the family, but yet, does that mean we put them down and destroy them? No. But if you can't lift them up and make them successful, then what do? Where do you draw the line? And that's where I think the complications come within the family, within my family. Where do you draw the line and say, enough is enough? I'm sure Joe and Sebastian, Florida, Mike out in Wisconsin, he understands. I'm sure BitBanker, he understands, and he's still on the line. But Elizabeth Rondo, from your experience and everything you just said, what do you want to see the family on both sides, your side and the male side and my side, what do you want to see in your dying days people to do together?
To get along.
To get along. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, those of you, as someone who's in her 80s, who wishes to, who's lived generation after generation and watched the family tear itself apart, like most American families do, to get along. And what advice do you have, though, to convince people to get along? You know, how do they get along? How? There's many differences.
Sure. You're asking me a big question.
Get
along.
I understand. I understand. And
now,
maybe
like Jason, I'm sure now with his job and everything, he cannot be on, calling in because he's probably sleeping, getting ready to go to work the third shift. And
Hang on. Let me interrupt you now. You're sticking up for Jason. That's great. Tell me something. How long is this show, Granny? How long is this show? It's 90 minutes. 90 minutes. And a matter of fact, I don't ask anyone to listen in for 90 minutes. What's 15 minutes? I'm sure he wakes up to smoke a cigarette for 10 minutes. So what's 15 minutes to call in and say, hi, everybody, how you doing? Right or wrong? Am I right or wrong?
I'm sure he will, Joe.
Okay.
Yes,
I understand
sure.
What you're saying.
Now, my daughter's on the other, is on too. Now, look at her. She works 48 hours a day, you may as well say. And she always has time for you. She always has time for me. And you This is what I call family. So we're all family. Now, Bridget, your Bridget is family. And I have a great grandson, Alex. Great grandchildren. And your son is a great grandson. And little Noah is a great grandson. By the way, how is he?
He's doing great. He's doing great. He's
good.
Starting to learn how to walk. Yeah, he's doing great. But and if anyone else wants to cue in, please press 1 because we need your input here. We need your input. And I know I still got BitBanker, and I want to get an update from Joe in Sebastian, Florida. So be patient, Joe. So, BitBanker, I know you're still on the line. So far, what Elizabeth has said, which is our grandmother, for people who don't know, because we do these family shows sometime, and I'm glad we were able to unite tonight and get some family members on the show tonight. BitBanker, what's your opinion on everything that's been said, what I said, what Elizabeth said?
Well, I think you're both right. Everyone wants instant gratification, though. Betty wants to see everyone get along, and of course that would be nice. You normally don't see those things until you get older in life. Everyone wants to fight when they're younger. Everyone wants to do what they want to do. Everybody wants to go camping. Everybody wants to go to the circus. Nobody has any time to stay home or stay with the family to do things with the family. But you're both correct. And I've received help down here from people. We won't go into details. Immense so far from some people. And I'll just leave that at that. But I think you're both correct. But I think she's more to the point in those simple 3 words, to get along. And I think that's what it boils down to. Everybody needs to get along. We're Americans, and we're not like the Asians or the Mexicans. We're not going to live in a household with 75 people in 4 bedrooms. And I'm not saying they do either, but we all know the way they live. And that's probably because they have to. And they are hard workers, and they'll put most American workers to shame. But they do that, and that's great for them. But that's not the American way. But I'll let it go with that and turn it back to
I want to get to Mike. I want to get to Mike. Mike's queued in from Wisconsin, and then I want to get to Joe in Sebastian, Florida, because I want an update on the hurricane situation. Like I said, you see, how many family members were concerned about his situation down in Florida, where we saw Florida getting devastated with a hurricane with catastrophic damage probably to – and we called the Sheriff's Department live on this show for Joe in Sebastian, Florida. But how many friends and family would have done that for him? How many?
Hey, Joe, I said a prayer for him.
Okay, all right,
that?
Hang on.
I was corresponding with Mike about it during those evening and next day hours. So there are people that are concerned, and there are people doing things.
Yeah.
But you know what? We don't have to advertise it.
That's right.
Yes, we do. Well, wait a second. No, we do, because we're talking about family and friends on the program, and that's key. And if we can't put it out there, you see, that's the problem. What do we have to be ashamed about? Nothing. If you did the right thing by saying the prayer, and if you were corresponding with Mike, worried about his situation in Florida, and if I was live on a worldwide radio show talking to the Sheriff's Department in Sebastian, Florida, I have nothing to be ashamed about, and it should be out in the open, because if we could be an example to other people and represent our family, what's your last name? Gibson, what's your last name? Rondo. Well, be proud of it, and your family should unite around that name and be together and stand for something. Why does everything have to be secretive? There's no reason to hide it.
You're absolutely right, but I think you're possibly looking for recognition and that of boys and stuff like that. You know, I haven't been.
No, I'm not looking for recognition. What I'm looking for is praise that family is looking out for other family. You know, and that's what I'm looking for. And people
that.
Know I'm telling the truth. Like Mike out in Wisconsin, which I'm going to connect. okay? Because I
understand that. I understand that, and I'm going absolute here and everything. And like I was saying, I wasn't an angel when I grew up, and I did plenty of things that were wrong. My father mentioned some things on some shows back, what he thought I may have been doing. But you see, it's what he thought. That's not what I was doing. I've done a lot of things that were wrong. Yes, I did. God forbid. I wish I could take them all back. But you know what? I don't have to look over my shoulder at any time, any way, anyhow, because I know what I have in my chest is the right and the honest thing to do. And I do the best I can with everything I do, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And if it's wrong, I'll do it over again.
All right. Well, okay. I want to connect Mike on. But before I let you interrupt, and what I'm trying to say is Mike knows what I'm talking about. There's no recognition. The point of it is that praise is good. Because you want to know why? When a fellow family member sticks up for another family member, he should be praised, and that is your leader of your family. That is your example of your family. And what did you say about doing wrong? Look where I came from. I sat in a prison cell, okay, from what I did, and what I did that was wrong. But I recognize now the most important thing to me is the family out there that is worth praising, is worth recognition, you know? Because Mike out in Wisconsin, who I'm going to connect, he remembers when I was a little boy, I busted my ass for him for no praise, for no money, because I worked on his farm and I learned, and I was able to take away something from that farm because he was allowing me to work my ass off. You know, and we'll go ahead and go from there. We'll go with Mike now because he's been waiting. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, hi. Hi, everybody. You know, a good show for down the road would be we should give credit to people that were with us who have helped us along the way, like my grandmother, Nana. Or, you know, even my mother, who has died within the last couple of years. You know, there's a lot of people in your life that you kind of, I don't know, they're not saying forget about, but like Ken Noyes, he was a wonderful person, always kind, you know, ready to help you at a drop of a feather. And didn't expect
and would never throw it back in your face, Mike. And would never throw it back in your face. Ken Noyes, good family member to bring up. You know what? He's the reason why I planted my first garden. He rototilled my first garden on Church Street. Ken Noyes, and you know what? He never said, "Look what I did for you." You know, he never threw it back in my face. You know. He just said, "Wow, you're a great starter as a gardener." And that gave me the inspiration to plant a garden at the age of 9 years old, you know?
That's what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of people in our life that in our past, you know, they're not around anymore. But what have they contributed us? What kind of morals did they put into us before they, you know, they passed away? And I think that would be an excellent show. I mean, have callers come in and just say, you know, I'd like to give thanks to, you know, my best friend, whatever. Or
Mike, what you're saying is open the lines up and say, what has your family done for you, that family members who are no longer here? What have they given you to live with?
Hey, Joe, look, your grandfather did a lot for you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's what Mike's saying. People who are not here know any longer. What did they give to you? Can any of us and all of us openly admit, hey, who gave inspiration to you in your life? Or, you know, and it's not about money. It's not about what is it they gave you, a TV set or a house or a car. It's about what they told you and how to live in life. You know, what did you learn from that? I think that's what Mike's getting at. But am I right, Mike?
Yeah, but it's just like Betty. You know, my opinion that's ingrained in me is, you know, Betty would give you the last, you know, nickel in her pocket. She's the kind of person that, you know, if you said help, she wouldn't say I'm busy, you know, and that's what's ingrained in me about her, you know, and like my Aunt Clara, you know, certain people in my life that, you know, I don't know what you want to say help molded me to who I am, but,
well, what about, you know, okay, you mentioned your mom, you mentioned Aunt Clara, now what about your father, because he's on the line tonight, I'm going to get to him next.
Yeah, you know, granted, my dad wasn't around a lot when we were growing up. You know, my brother Joey can contest to that. But you know, I guess you can say he tried his best. And that's all you can ask of somebody. You know, if you try and fail, at least you tried. This generation fails right away. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know, remember a couple years ago, the Army or something used to have what is called time out cards. You know,
yeah.
if you were doing boot camp and you got tired, you'd pull the card out of your pocket and they'd let you sit down for 15, 20 minutes. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
well, what's going to happen when you're out there fighting the enemy? You know, they don't care about timeout cards. You know?
That's right, but, Mike. You're right.
But I'm just saying it would be great to, you know, have just call in, whoever it is, and just call in and say, you know, I'd really like to, you know, give this person, you know, some respect because of what they did for me. You don't have to tell us what they did, but still, saying it out loud, you know, and saying it to, you know, hundreds of people across the, you know, the radio.
And we are, and Mike, right now, I want you to know, right now, if anyone was to click onto the Blog Talk Radio site, we are number one. We're number one in the chat room. So I can't check the chat room because I got so many callers on the line, but we are the first on the list. Joseph Gibson, that's the name. And I really need to change the title because nobody knows who Joseph Gibson is, and I'm not trying to make my name famous either. I want the title of the show to be popular, which is Understanding the Times in Which We Live. But we are number one right now. So, Mike, you're right. That's a great show. And before I start getting ready to wrap it up tonight, and I'll let everyone wrap it up, or, and if there's anyone else who wants to cue in, I know if you're an outsider, I know we're talking family tonight. It's an open show. Everyone is welcome, and including family, too. You're welcome. Press 1, and I'll connect you. Okay? So if you're in the chat room, all you got to do is press 1. But I want to connect Joe because I want to do an update on the hurricane. And how he made out through the hurricane, if he was scared, because obviously he survived, thank God. And we did a show hours before it hit Sebastian, Florida. We had the Sebastian, Florida's Sheriff's Department live on this show to give us an evacuation order, actually. It was an amazing show. If you missed it, go back. It was last Thursday. It was an amazing show. We didn't do a show on Sunday. But, Joe, I'm going to go ahead and patch you through. Joe in Sebastian, Florida, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Joe. Okay, I'll say good evening to everybody there. And, you know, it's quite interesting hearing everybody talking. Well, getting back to the hurricane. Okay. I went ahead and, they were saying that it's out to sea at the, you know, the center of the storm, and it came by. Actually, we didn't even lose our power. The lights blinked a few times, and that's about all. That's about all we had. I bought extra food for myself and the dog, Oh yeah, Vance, my dog. He's a Gibson too. He's stubborn. He's a real thickhead. But you know, he knows what he wants and he goes ahead. And he likes cereal in the morning and he likes a donut in the morning too. And the things you know,
was
the things
he afraid?
The little boy wants.
Was he afraid, Joe? Was he afraid? Because I remember you saying he snuggled up to you in the middle of the night. When we talked privately, you said he knew something was going on, and in the middle of the night, he snuggled up to you.
Well, yes, he did snuggle up, but I still noticed that he's still doing that, and the hurricane is over. So I actually look at it, and I wonder why. You know, he's quite a dog. I did have an army dog, a big white one. That came from Vietnam. He was a terrific dog, but this little guy here, he's a pit bull and a half boxer, so he's a good dog. I just don't want him to run away. He loves to run down the road. And that's,
oh boy,
that's
dangerous. That's dangerous.
Yeah. The woman that cleaned the house when I was in the hospital, she put everything in the craziest places you could actually think about. I have a shock collar that I can control the shocking, and you know, she took his collar, and I still can't find it. But the shocker itself, I got that and I put that away. But getting back to the hurricane. I went ahead and checked with some of the people in the area here, and I got probably 3 telephone calls from the people, other people wanting to know if I was okay. You know, since my hip broke, I don't walk them anymore, you know, until I feel somewhat better. But all in all, some of the people really cared, and that was it. Well, Michael, I'll say thank you. He went ahead and called the cops, and they sent a cruiser down with a guy in it, a cop, and my shutters. What happens is they're metal shutters. They're accordion type, but you know, with the bees here. They build a nest in there, and it's hard for them to close. And me, I can't put any weight upon a lot of weight on my hip or my knees. So you know, he could. So he closed them up for me. And so.
Well, that's great. That's great. I know in the state of Connecticut you wouldn't get that type of service.
Yeah, you're right. I'm skinned that. Maybe I shouldn't be because of my age and the way I am right now. I've been thinking not to go with the government. I like their call. I appreciate their call. I appreciate everything they said to me, personal. And, well, I don't think that I should go. I don't, you know, I think...
You're talking about,
and
for those who don't know, that you're talking about them wanting you to go back to work for the government. That, so for those who don't know.
Yeah, that's the ATF, okay? The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Yeah.
Everything worked out. Well, you know, they left it open for me in case I wanted to. But all in all, I think I'm over the hill. And my knees are not the way they should be. So that's what happened. I feel sorry for the people up there in South Carolina, North Carolina. You know. Some of them, quite a few of them, I think, what is it, 12 died?
No,
you know.
20. The count is at 20 right now.
20, no kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and that was well due to them getting stuck in their cars and flooding and what have you. So, you know, all in all, I feel sorry for the people. So that's about it from this end. I'm all alone, just me and the dog. And that's
but
Joe, about it.
But Joe, real quick, you said Mike, you know, was concerned about you. You know, I did a show where we called the sheriff's department on the show, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but what's your opinion of the family in your life and friends in your life? Do you think we could do better working together? I mean, and what's your opinion? Because look, you're older. You've seen a lot of nonsense. You've seen all the baloney. You've seen people make mistakes, and I'm sure you've made mistakes. We all have. None of us are perfect. But what's your opinion on that, on the family, your family, and what would you like to see your family become? Because, look, you have grandchildren. You've got great-grandchildren. What would you like to see the family become later on, in, you know, as years progress, even, you know, when you're not around any longer, if you don't mind me saying? What would you like me to – what would you like to say?
Well, Joe, that would be a hard thing to say. For the family themselves, it would be nice if there was a get-together of all of the family. But, you know, right now we're all spread out. It used to be Grammy and Grampy Herx. They lived on South Orchard Street, just a few houses up from me. I don't know. I seem to think that they were the people that held everything together. Of course, Aunt Clara and Uncle Larry, they lived in
wow.
the same house as Grammy
yeah.
and Grampy.
So true.
That's going back. And I don't know if anybody remembered them. I also have relatives that, well, she was out in Pennsylvania. Okay, it's an Aunt Esther. Nobody knows her. Nobody remembers her. I don't think anybody's
yes,
seen her. You do? No kidding.
Yes, I do. I remember the gas farms out. I remember the gas wells out there, too. And Joseph Herx used to cook me breakfast all the time.
Yeah, okay. That's good. And, well, she was a whack. And she had a husband named Norris. He was a nice guy. He was friendly. He just went his own way, and that was it. And
Joe, you made a key point, a get-together. You know, yeah. when Barbara died, we got a lot of people together up in near the Canadian border there, and it was a great time. You know, everyone's had dinner together. Mike knows what I'm talking about. Melody knows what I'm talking about. Even Jeannie knows what I'm talking about. Even my girl Bridget knows. We all had a nice get-together. And Joe, you made a great point. Why do we have to wait for someone to die to have a get-together? Why can't we do it before the person is dead and enjoy each other's company? You know? And but you made a good point. Everyone spread out. Well, you know what? We have fast cars nowadays. A plane ticket's only a couple $100. You know? What's a day or two in a hotel room? You know, I mean, you made a great point, because one day we all may regret saying, I wish we all did get together for that one day and put whatever bygones we have, put bygones aside, let bygones be bygones, and everyone just talk about what you just talked about, Hester, your ancestors, your grandparents, who remembers this, who remembers that, you know, and have good memories instead of bad memories, you know? Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, I do agree. It's just everybody has to find time to do it all together. And the one thing I do have to mention before I turn it back to you, Joe, is that Jeannie did call me on the phone.
Wow, good for you.
Jeannie called me on the phone, and we talked for about a half an hour. And
well, that's good,
Joe. The first time she ever done that, you know. And, well, I told Michael, and he says, wow, that's interesting. So, you know, what goes around comes around. And out in Pennsylvania, I do remember my great-grandfather on my father's side. You know, he was starting to get senile. And he looked at me and said, are you Al? No. And my father said, no, he's not Al. That's my boy. I'm Al. You're Al? You know, and wow, you know. Okay, that's enough from me, Joe. Back to you.
All right, thanks. Everyone else can talk, but I'll mute Joe because he said that's it. So
I just want to know if that was Butler, Pennsylvania.
I muted him. I'll unmute him real quick, and he can answer you. Go ahead, Joe. Was that Butler, Pennsylvania?
Actually, the big city was Butler, but he lived in a town called Cabot, C-A-B-O-T.
Okay, that's good to know. At one time in 2008, I started an Ancestry.com for our family tree, and I sent a message out to everyone. I know I talked about this before, but that'd be something else that we could all do so that we could know the history. I see people dropping off the chat room, so they don't want to hear about this, but I'll turn it back to everybody else.
All right. Well, those are probably people that aren't involved with our family, but I did point the show out to the family tonight, and you know, I know Elizabeth. Our phone lines haven't dropped off, and I'll go ahead and mute Joe from Sebastian, Florida. Hopefully, he stays listening until the end, and I'm gonna start getting ready to wrap it up. But before I get to Mike again out in Wisconsin, Elizabeth Rondo, do you have anything you want to say before I start getting ready to wrap it up?
Yeah, come over and see me.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, thanks. That's my grandmother, and you know, for the archive, because this is archived, this show, and people listen. So if you don't understand, that's my grandmother from Yalesville, Connecticut, and you know, she wants to see the family get along, and you know, there's a lot more to it than just saying that. But Joe had a great idea in Florida. You know, people need to get off their ass and say, hey, how about June 25th? Everybody meets here. And what's a hotel room for two nights? What's a plane ticket? You know what? Hang up the cell phones for a month, and you'll have enough money to go down there. You know what I mean? Turn off the cable bill for a month. You know, what's more important? You know, because Joe made a great point. You know, and that's why I said what I said. When we met for my grandmother's funeral up in Vermont, Barbara, you know, it was so great to see Mike and Melody, Sheila, Jeannie, Sean, Kristen. Everybody was there, you know. Of course, there was a couple deadbeats that weren't there, but we're not going to slander any names. Those of you know what I'm talking about. Okay, but that's irrelevant, because if people really care about their family and you know, like we talked about tonight, unless you're a hypocrite, then you know what I'm talking about, all right? So we made it fair that weekend, and in that hotel room, we all sat down and had a great dinner together until late hours in the morning. You know, Mike, Melody, I went to bed actually a little bit early. I was kind of tired. Hey, I had to drive. You know, but, you know, it was a great time. But, Mike, go ahead. I want you to go ahead and have a final word before I start wrapping it up. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that would be an excellent thing to plan out. You know, it would be nice if we could get, you know, majority of everybody, you know, together. I don't know. I don't know if meeting halfway, like at your place, because you got people from Connecticut, you got people from Florida, you have me from Wisconsin.
Hey,
and
my house is open. My house is open anytime, but we have to consider the elderly. We got to consider the elderly.
That's right, Joe. Especially the ones that can't walk, like me.
Yeah. So we got to consider that. And that's what I was saying. What's an extra day in a hotel room? So I'm not saying, we all got to tend to one individual because we all got to make a sacrifice here. And that's what I'm trying to plan here because Joe and Sebastian Florida put a seed in the ground right now. He planted a seed for us to water that seed and watch that seed grow. So it's up to us to make it grow. So within the next year, we really do need to have some sort of get-together. And I understand some people aren't going to show up. Does that mean we hate them? No. But if a majority, like you just said, Mike, we can all talk about things, and I'm not saying have an argument. What I'm saying is just talk about the past. Talk about history, Reflect back on your ancestors that are no longer with us no more, like Nana. Nana was an important part of my life, your life, Michael, my father's life, even my grandmother's life. Nana was there, And so that's what I'm trying to say. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, just like you say, it's better than not planning anything at all,
Yep.
And, who knows? Maybe we can, find a, a neutral place where, everybody can go to.
That's right. Just because somebody can't walk doesn't mean another family member can't go and pick that person up. Even if we got to carry that person, it don't matter, everyone has to sacrifice a little bit, and what? At the end of the day, Mike, if this was to happen, it'll be a memory that the elderly and even the youth can take away and die with and say, hey, at least the family got together one time before some people are no longer with us, and I'm not going to point out names, Mike. You know what I'm talking about, And, even you're not in good health,
Well,
at least we can get together.
You could say one thing. If it did happen, then you could say there is a God because it would be a miracle. But,
I agree, Mike. I agree. But, hey, we started something here tonight on the radio program. Hey, if this radio program didn't exist, guess what? Joe and Meriden, Elizabeth and Deborah and Reedsville, me, my Bridget, I can go with a couple more here, but they want to remain anonymous, would not be on the phone talking with each other tonight. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, I would be talking to Debbie.
But
Debbie,
you wouldn't be talking to everyone
else.
And Mike, I want you to Mike, you just got out of the hospital. You're not in good health. And here you are willing to fight to try to get everybody together. That's key. Remember, Mike is not in good health, folks. So, and Michael was an inspiration to a lot of us when we were younger. Remember, Mike, when you fell over the swimming pool?
Hey, Mike, remember the big fence our neighbor had?
Yeah, that was the wall of Trump.
No one could jump over that.
You see, these are the things that we can all laugh about if we were all in person together. It's a shame not to see each other before the end. We're all going to face death one day. Some of us are afraid of it. Some of us welcome it. I don't know. But, hey, at least we could see each other. I remember your father, Mike. We used to call him Rockhead. You know? Because you want to know why? We used to light those rockets off on Mohawk Drive, remember? But anyway, now, hey. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, you know, my dad was talking about, you know, or was it my brother Joey that, you know, some place in Meriden had a like an air raid, you know, shelter built into their home or something. Well, the house up in Mohawk Drive sort of had, you know, a mini version of that. And,
yeah.
You know, it was, you know, it was something
hey, Mike,
like.
I remember you. I remember you, Mike, 16 years old, walking through 1.5 feet of water in the basement.
Yeah, I had to swim my way in and out.
Hey, I got to wrap up the show, but listen, this was a good family show. I wish others could have contributed, and that's why I call out to others, you know, because you know what? It's great. It really is. It's great. But I promise to the other listeners out there, we'll get back to the worldly politics on Sunday, God willing. Hopefully we'll have a show on Sunday. I'm sorry, on Sundays, I'm trying to program the Monday morning quarterback show, and I haven't got that set up yet, so I'll try to do a show on Sunday for everyone. If not, we will definitely be here next Thursday, and we're going to talk Hillary and Trump, I promise, and it's going to be an exciting show, trust me. So to all the family tonight and the friends tonight who contributed, this was really an awesome show. It really was. We got a lot of things aired out, and hopefully we can plan something for the future for everyone. It'd really be nice. It really would. Because, you know, when Mike's mom and Bitbanker's mom passed away, it was, you know, it was a good time up there on the Canadian border. We really had a good time. You know, we all had dinner together. We had breakfast together. It was awesome in the mountains of Vermont. Imagine how beautiful that is in the springtime in June. I say, well, that's springtime in the mountains, folks, June. And it was 75 degrees, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful day. And we all talked, had fun. There was no arguments. We just had fun. And hopefully, like Joe and Sebastian, Florida, mentioned, Joe and Sebastian Florida mentioned, let's have a get together before someone dies again, you know, where we can enjoy everyone's company together and bury the past and look for the future, you know. Let's look forward to the future instead of dwelling on the negatives of the past. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for everyone. I don't know if Bitbanker had one more thing to say or not. So I like to give everyone a chance. So I'll connect them real quick.
Of course.
Before I wrap it up. Go ahead, Bitbanker, real quick.
Of course. I always have things to say. You know that. Yeah, Joe and Sebastian, that's a hell of an idea. That would be great. The only thing is that, you know, everybody has their own agendas. And that's all well and fine because we can all make time because some of us still have not found our way in life yet. It doesn't matter how old you are, 40, 50, 60, or 70. We're still searching for something, and it's because of the way we grew up. That's not to say that we can't make and plan a get-together, because we all can. And I think that would be great for sometime in the future. And, you know, anybody that's computer literate out there, they can go on Google, and Google Docs or Google Sheets or whatever it is, and everyone could go to that schedule and they could comment on it or they could put in dates and we could correlate on the best time to do things and where to do them. And I can't at this moment do what I'm about to say, but later down the road, I'd be happy to contribute some monetary sums to those that are less fortunate for a motel room or a plane ride. And, no, it was a good show. And thank everybody, and thank you.
All right. Well, good. That's thanks, Biff Banker, Joe from Meredith, Connecticut, Elizabeth Rondo, Joe in Spasia, Florida, Mike, Deborah Lewis from Reidsville who tuned in, Bridget from Reidsville. We had a couple unknown callers. We had about five unknowns, but sometimes we do a family and friends show. Sorry if you had something you wanted to contribute tonight that didn't pertain to the topic at hand. I apologize. Because like Mike said, this show is crazy sometimes. We'll start off on a certain topic and end up someplace else, far away. So, you know, but I wanted to stay on the topic tonight. So I'm glad Joe in Sebastian, Florida is okay. I'm glad Elizabeth Rondo in Yalesville, Connecticut contributed tonight. It's been a long time since we heard from her. And hopefully she's healthy, doing well. So, hey, I know many people don't listen to the wrap-up of the show, but, you know, I'll go ahead and do my closing and tune in for the next show, guys. Love you. Take care. God bless.
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to...